Now we'll just read again what we just sung. Almost word for word. Blessed is the man who walks not on the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. And therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Congregation, beloved of our Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Psalms is a very special book in the Bible, obviously, as all the books are really, but here in the book of Psalms, it reveals in a very intimate way the relationship between a believer or believers, God's people, and their God. And it's a book of praise in which the saints of old sang about the love that the Lord had for them and also their love for the Lord. You can hear the cry of the believer's heart as well as his joyful laughter. Both his tears and his praise are expressed very openly. And from the depths of despair, he climbs up to the mountaintop of joy as the bride of Christ walks with her Lord. Now, this first psalm is an introduction to the rest of the book. It's a model of how believers are to walk with their Lord. It's a word that the Lord has for his children to encourage them and by which to praise him. But here in this first psalm, there's also a very strong warning that we must not forsake the Lord and turn away from him. So consider the word of the Lord for you this morning from Psalm 1 under the theme from verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And we'll just work our way through this psalm verse by verse. Verse 1 begins with, blessed is the man. Of course, that includes everyone. And the full meaning of being blessed means what God has promised you, that even though you are an unworthy sinner, he sent his Son Jesus Christ to save you. This is God's covenant promise to Adam, confirmed to Abraham and the whole Old Testament. And Galatians 3:26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then verse 29 adds, you are Christ's. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir to the promise. And all the promises of God are written right here in the Bible, so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing in him, you may have life in his name. Jesus himself tells us that in John 20, verse 31. So if you are a believer in Christ this morning, you're very, very blessed. So blessed means to have received Jesus Christ as God's covenant promise to his people. But then verse 1 continues immediately with three important warnings. Again, to the church, to God's covenant people. And this is like in the Ten Commandments, which also begins with three warnings. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. This is what I have done for you as your God and your Savior. But you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image of your God or bow down and worship to any god like all the other nations are. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will not hold you guiltless if you do. So also in this psalm, begins with, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, why would the Lord begin this psalm, you know, as an introduction to a book of praise in this way? Well, look, if you're going to sing these songs to worship and praise your God when you come together as the body of Christ on Sundays, then you need to understand that God will not accept your worship if you're living like the ungodly all week long. In fact, that's going to be very offensive to Him. The walking, standing, and sitting are all activities that we do every day. So the warning here is to be very careful that we are not deceived by Satan, by our own desires, by the culture around us, that we turn our backs to the Lord and turn away from Him. And notice that there's a progression here in our departure. If we depart from the Lord, it kind of goes from one evil to a worse evil. It begins as you have daily contact with ungodly people, and then you become interested in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you're already seeking another God, right? If you're interested in their counsel, which is ungodly. And if you're not shocked by what you hear, and you do not repent, you will soon be standing with those sinners. You will begin to like what they say, and you begin to kind of agree with them. And then, if there's no repentance, you will soon be sitting in with the scoffers, meaning you will just be joining and doing what the ungodly are doing. And at that point, you've walked away from the Lord, and you begin to ridicule what God has to say. But now, of course, how can we avoid listening to unbelievers? We meet them every day. We can't avoid them, right? Every day we have contact with them at work or at school, or we interact with them in some ways. You're talking to your neighbor, if you're riding a bus or a plane or whatever, you know, eating lunch in a cafeteria or in a restaurant. It's normal you have contact with unbelievers. But this is not what the psalmist is referring to, just having contact with them or talking to them. In fact, we shouldn't avoid having contact with unbelievers because we have an obligation to them. We need to be examples to them. We need to show them that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and that our faith is real, and that we desire to do His will. We should be a willing friend and have a listening ear to help anyone in need. We need to be the best neighbor on our street. They need to see how God has blessed us. Our friends and our neighbors need to know and see an example what it means to be a Christian in our godly walk. It should be very obvious to them that our marriage is different, our family is different, because they see Jesus living in us through the Holy Spirit. So in your relationship with them as friends or neighbors, you need to be kind, but you also need to be brutally honest that you cannot accept their counsel if it is ungodly. If it is contrary to the Word of God, you can't go there. You can't live according to their values. You can't do things the way they do if it's clearly contrary to the Word of God. And, you know, today in our culture, the righteous standards of God's Word are scoffed at in our nation and in the world as a whole, but this counsel comes to us today in so many different and subtle forms. You know, you can get a lot of ungodly counsel from your computer, on your cell phone, on all the entertainment industry, the secular music, especially the music and entertainment. It's a very powerful medium that Satan uses to take hold of our youth, because it's so much of it is so profane and sensual. And if you're watching movies with no morals and where God's name is blasphemed with all kinds of sensual, sexual acts, then you're being counseled by ungodliness and you're being desensitized because you can't get those scenes out of your mind and it's going to affect you. And this is how the media and culture are counseling all of us, but especially our youth today, to trap them in immorality and sin. And then if you throw into that whole mix alcohol and pot, both are mind-altering drugs, then you can see how easily we can be led astray by our passions and by our lust. And Satan will be very happy to take you into that kind of ungodly counsel. He'll make it very attractive to you even. And young people want to have a high, you know, in life. They want to enjoy life more. But in fact, if you go there, it's going to be a very painful and it's going to be very sad and it's going to lead ultimately to death. Dear young people, if you find yourself tempted in situations like that, memorize 1 Timothy 2, verse 22. It says, "Flee from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart." The kind of friends that you want to choose to hang out with are those who have a pure heart and want to do what's right. To have good friends who call on the Lord and want to serve Him with a pure heart is a great source of support and blessing. You know, peer pressure can go both ways, good and bad. But if you choose godly friends, that kind of peer pressure will help you and it will be a great blessing to you. So first of all, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but seek the counsel of those who are godly. And secondly, nor stand in the path of sinners. The standing in the way of sinners is to accept their way of life as right and normal. By not obeying the Lord, by not being into the Word of God, you will no longer see sin for what it is. And then you can become very attracted to, you know, a life like they are living, the ungodly living. They really seem to be, you know, really living it up. They really enjoy it. But by not obeying the Lord, you're going to be blind to that, the consequences of that. And you can even begin to feel very comfortable. And at home, the way they talk, you know, it's no longer an issue. Your heart is no longer with the Lord. So now you're standing in the path of sinners. You're identifying with those who don't want to hear the Word of God, and you're becoming like them. And you may even sit in church on Sundays. But during the week, you're very comfortable with ungodly and unholy things, the dirty jokes that they tell, and that you laugh along with them, the swearing that they do, and all this dirty talk, and it doesn't bother you anymore. You begin to feel quite at home at the crowd. And then if your heart has hardened to that point, you're ready for the next step, sitting in the seat of the scornful. And you're ready to join those who scoff at the Word of God. When you're hanging out with those who no longer hide their disdain, but are openly defiant against the Lord, and you begin to take part in that, then you have become a scoffer. A scoffer is a person who not only mocks the Word of God, but makes fun of it and openly speaks against it. He has a determined agenda to oppose the Word of God and encourage others to do the same. Satan was not condemned to be doomed to hell for his rebellion. He wanted the whole human race to be doomed with him. And that's what a scoffer does. Same thing. Proverbs 13:19 says, "It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil." That's how much they love evil. They want more of it. Romans 1:32 says the same. They not only practice evil, but they encourage others to do the same. This is that ungodly pressure that you see in the world around you today. On internet, TV, the news, politicians, the courts, the governments that we have are so anti-Christian, anti-Christ. Their main agenda is to mock what the Bible says. It's not only that God is, you know, not the creator of the world. That's old hat. That was years ago. But now, you know, that if he exists, well, he is a God who is hateful and a racist. Young people, listen to what Proverbs 13:20 says. And this is what was written already 3,000 years ago. "Whoever walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And the fool says, "There is no God." Scoffers scorn what Christ has done. They despise it. They walk away from the gospel, from the blessing of the Lord, of being pardoned and set free from the guilt of sin. It's the greatest tragedy of all. But you see what a warning this is for us also, dear brothers and sisters. We need to diligently pray that the Lord will give us a discernment and a boldness to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. He says it for a reason. We need to hear this. And may the Lord give us repentant and contrite hearts so that our hearts will not deceive us, that will not be taken in by the culture and what the world is telling us. But now, in contrast to what the blessed man ought not to do, verse 2 goes on to describe what the man of God, the blessed man, delights in. His delight is in the law of God, and in his law he meditates day and night. And this is how our hearts are protected from becoming hard and ungodly. This word delight is a very special word. It describes a man's love for his wife. And you can always tell if a man really loves his wife, right? Because he delights in who she is. He just loves everything about her. She can't do any wrong. He doesn't want to be separate from her because he enjoys her company so much. Not that we're all perfect, but you know what I mean. He loves to hear her voice. He loves to share his life together with her. This is the way the blessed man also feels about the law of the Lord. And why is that? Because he understands that it is Jesus, the bridegroom, who is speaking to him and his bride, the church, through his word. The reference to the law of the Lord is not limited just to the Ten Commandments, but refers to the revelation of Christ in the gospel, in the word of God. As Jesus says in Luke 24:44, "All things must be fulfilled which are written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And what wonderful things are revealed about Christ, the promised Savior of his people. What an encouragement and comfort there is in the Word of God, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. There is such intimate language in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 119. It says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Open my eyes that I may behold the wonderful things from your law. For your testimonies are my delight and are my counselors. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your testimonies are a joy to my heart. And then near the end of Psalm 119 and verse 165, it says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Those who love the Lord will love His word, and that's why they enjoy such peace. Nothing can cause them to stumble. Why is that? Because the word keeps you safe and secure. The Lord, through His word, gives His people a great peace and a fulfillment in life. That's why the blessed man delights more and more as he meditates on His word day and night. He's constantly thinking about the Lord and listening to what Jesus is saying to him. And the results are so amazing. What happens when you meditate on the word is that you not only come to know the Lord better in a deeper and more intimate way, but you also become like Him. You begin to think like He thinks. You begin to love like He loves. You begin to care for people as He cares for you. And when you do that, your heart fills with a great heavenly peace and joy because you are being obedient. You're doing what the Lord wants you to do, and He blesses you in doing that. If you delight in the eternal things that the Lord has revealed to you in His word, your desires will become more like the Lord's. And that's what gives you this great fulfillment and contentment in life. Because the things of this world are temporary. All its wealth, the status, the material possessions, they will never satisfy you nor fulfill you. You can never, ever be as happy and fulfilled in anything the world has to offer you compared to Christ and what He has given you. And why is that? Because He has given Himself to you. He has given Himself totally to you. All His love, all His perfection, all who He is and has, He has given to you. It's yours. And look at the effect that it has on you if you delight yourself in the law of God. In verse 3, He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What a beautiful picture of the Christian life. Always bringing forth fruit, and whatever he does, he will prosper. Wow, what a promise. But this is what happens when you walk and stand and sit with the Lord day and night, just meditating on who he is and what he is saying to you in his word. Dear brothers and sisters, young people, children, listen. Even for children, life can get very busy with a lot of things, right? And young people, and especially if you're working every day, from early morning to late at night, you get all kinds of responsibilities. You hardly have time to read the Bible. But even if you would take just a few minutes a day, just read a few verses and meditate on those verses throughout the day. If you have the Bible downloaded on your cell phone, or if you don't have a cell phone, write it in a card. And just meditate on that one verse even, so you can think about it when you're driving. Meditate on that. And of course, I'm not suggesting that you cancel your family devotions. Of course not. Don't cut that out of your schedule. But if you memorize just one or two verses that you can meditate on, how blessed you will be throughout the day. You'll always have time to have a few minutes here or there when you're having a coffee or whatever. You'll have a little break somewhere. Because the Lord, you see, will then be speaking to you through His Word, and you will find comfort in Him. It's all about Him. Meditating on the Word brings you into closer fellowship with Christ. Delighting in the law of the Lord is delighting in who Christ is. He who delights in the law of the Lord is in love with Christ. And that's why you will be so wonderfully blessed. Just like in our relationships that we have together as man and wife, as family. If we truly love each other, what wonderful fellowship and communion we have. That's most precious. You can't put a dollar on that. It's the Word that will transform us, you see. It will change your life when you meditate on the Word of the Lord. Because the Word of the Lord always accomplishes what it is sent out to do. So if you live that Word, then you'll receive everything that the Word promises you. The Lord will not fail to complete what He promises you. I mean, isn't that true also of your faith? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Are you saved? It's because you believed in what Christ said in His Word. And that's true of every promise. If we believe in Him, if we trust in Him, the Lord will effect in your life what He has promised in His Word. It's not complicated. But if we refuse to walk in the counsel of God and reject His Word and do not delight in Him after all that He has shown to you about Himself and what He has done for you, then look at what happens to the ungodly in verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away." You know what chaff is, right? Just blows away. And verse 5 adds that the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And verse 6 tells us that the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now notice the striking contrast there is in what happens to the godly person who walks with the Lord and all the ungodly who reject the Lord. The unrepentant sinners and scoffers will all be blown away like chaff. They will not stand, meaning survive, the final judgment of God. They will not rise up is a literal translation. And what that means is that all unbelievers who refuse to listen to the word of the Lord, who refuse to trust and obey in Jesus Christ, will perish forever. They will not be found in heaven. There is no place for them in the congregation of the righteous in Jesus Christ. And they will not be resurrected with a new and glorious body like the righteous who will live in the Father's house forever. Their resurrection from the first death will be to shame and everlasting contempt, Daniel 12, verse 2 tells us. So you see the terrible progression of the ungodly in this psalm. There's a continuous downward spiral to an eternal death, an eternal suffering, when they're blown away and cast into the lake of fire in the final judgment, Revelation 20:14. That's the final conclusion. When the final wrath of God is poured out as a consuming fire, it will destroy all of this present creation and all the ungodly. They will not be annihilated, but they will live in everlasting shame and contempt. Think about that, dear brothers and sisters. There are so many unbelievers dying every day and come to stand face to face before a holy God who is a consuming fire. And you are so blessed sitting here listening to the Lord speaking to you through His Word and Spirit, while at this very moment, unbelieving people all over the world are entering into an eternal hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's no escape ever. This is the present reality right now of what's happening. And it's so sad and tragic when you think of the millions who worship idol gods and call out to dead images who can't hear them. But it's also true of people that you know, people you love, family members, friends, neighbors, fellow workers, those who are walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and some have moved over to standing in the way of sinners, and others are already sitting in the seat of the scornful, and they're all going to be blown away like chaff for an eternity of unspeakable grief and sorrow. How eternally thankful you can be for the Word of the living God who is speaking to you, Jesus Christ, your Savior. And how gracious and merciful He is. And the Lord knows those who are delighting in Him. So let me ask you, are you one of them? Young people, children, are you delighting in who Jesus is and what He has done for you? Do you really love Jesus? What a priceless gift it is to know Him by faith and to look forward to seeing Him face to face. And Jesus assures you that you will stand in the judgment because He has taken the judgment upon Himself for you. That's why you can so delight in Him and in His Word. How precious it is that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God, as Jesus tells us in John 1:12. And now He has given us the Holy Spirit to direct your thinking, so that you will do fruitful work that He has ordained for you to do, and you will be delighted in doing it. You'll find such fulfillment in your life when you're doing the work that He has given to you. And we all have work to do. And it's all to His glory. And that's only a small beginning that we experience now, but you will be so totally fulfilled and eternally delighted in Him when He comes again to take you to Himself. What great and wonderful things He will reveal to you about Himself then in His glory on the wedding feast when Christ comes to take a bride to Himself. All your desires will then be fulfilled. Your joy in delighting in Him will be overflowing. You will never be able to stop praising and honoring Him and thinking of Him forever in His presence. You'll never be tired of it. You'll enjoy it more and more. So begin today, dear brothers and sisters. Delight in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Meditate on His Word day and night. For how very blessed you are that what God has done for you in Christ. Praise the Lord, for He knows the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly will perish. Amen.